Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, April 1st, 2023.
May.
I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, this is Lori Pickup from Michigan. It's Monday, May the 1st, and we are the Democracy Defenders, and I hope everyone is doing well, and let's have a great show.
Yes, and, you know, as the American media lost its way in reporting real hard-hitting news, has integrity and truth been sidelined? Since the Fairness Doctrine was erased, has the mainstream media been truthful and honest to the American public? Long gone are the days of Walter Cronkite, where integrity and fairness was key to great journalism. How does it change U.S. media landscape since Dan Lemon and Tucker Carlson were let go by CNN and Fox News respectively? Will the Fairness Doctrine be brought back? What does the main American mainstream media mean to you as an American? Call us and tell us what you think as we discuss the rise and fall of American media. Has it become just propaganda for both the left and the right? The number to call, 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Turn off the TV and all background noises as it can be distracting to the host and listeners. Visit our website, kitchenpolitics123.com, as we have some articles by Laurie and I, and some more coming in future weeks and days ahead. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Laurie, Governor Abbott in Texas is a real douchebag. He has to withdraw his words, what he said on April 30th, where he said that all those involved in the shooting, the mass murder, were illegal immigrants. And so they announced yesterday a $50,000 reward for a Texas Department of Public Safety, the DPS, to top 10 fugitives who was in a country illegally and killed five illegal immigrants in a shooting Friday night in Cleveland, Texas. And according to Governor Abbott, this is what he said, and I quote, "Our hearts go out to the families and loved ones of the five victims that were taken in the census act of violence. I continue working with state and local officials to ensure that they have all available resources to respond to this horrific crime. I thank the men and women in law enforcement who are tirelessly working to ensure this criminal is caught and brought to justice." And he further politicized it by saying, what he said about, you know, all them involved are illegal immigrants, but the woman whose mother was a green card holder and everything, and interest groups for immigrants responded by saying, "There's no time for political pandering. Let's focus on catching the murderers. Shame on you, Governor Abbott." So Greg Abbott playing politics with people's lives and not really giving a damn that these non-white people got murdered and the murderers are out on the loose and nobody where he is.
Right. Well, the sad part is, David, is that it was a neighbor. He was shooting his AR-15 in the front yard. He was just shooting it off in the front yard. And one of the neighbors in the next door went and asked him if he could please, you know, stop shooting because their baby was sleeping. Well, before they knew it, he broke into their house and he shot five of the family members. Basically, execution style, because they were all shot above the neck. You know, that to me is horrific. he's still on the loose, like you said. And Abbott made it sound like because, and you know, the funny thing is that they don't even really know if he's an illegal immigrant or not because they haven't caught him. So they don't honestly know, and they can't put that out there. But he, you're right. Greg Abbott used that information to say, look, it's the immigrants that are causing this trouble, causing, you know, these shootings, et cetera. They're causing it. But, you know, the funny thing is that in Mexico, AR-15s and assault rifles are banned. So who should really have the wall? Should we really have the wall? Should Mexico really have the wall to protect themselves, their population, from us? Because AR-15s are not banned in this country. Assault rifles are not banned in this country. In a few states, they are, but not all over the country. So that within itself makes me very upset. The other thing I just wanted to mention is that we are 121 days into the year. We have had 184 mass shootings. I mean, put that into some perspective, if you will, and just know that America is being, America, American population, the people of America that are law-abiding citizens, and I'm not saying that gun owners are not law-abiding citizens, but everyday people that go about their business, they go to school, they go to work and shopping, whatever they're doing, are now looking over their shoulder all the time. There are two instances that I just want to make this point, and then I'll let you go on, David. First of all, there was in Tennessee, and there was a girls' basketball team that were playing basketball in their gymnasium. They're playing their game. They're playing their sport. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody said, there's a shooter. Well, pandemonium occurred. Everyone starts screaming and yelling and running, heading for the floor, trying to find a place to hide. It was just an horrific thing to watch. And the thing is that these young people are trained now to, you know, get down on the floor and to hide. It is so horrific that we have to live like this. The other thing, and on top of it all, it was a false alarm. Another one, this is a second example, in South Carolina, there was a little league baseball team that was playing, and all these little boys, you know, 6, 8 years old, maybe, you know, were playing on the field, they're playing their game, and all of a sudden you could hear in the background a barrage of gunfire. No one knew where it was coming from or where it was happening, but it was loud. These little kids were running off the field. They were crawling off the field. They were crying. They were screaming. They were heading for the dugout. And what it turned out to be was a bunch of teenagers in a parking lot that was kind of attached to the baseball field were shooting off guns, just shooting off guns. And this is what's going on in this country. What the hell? What the hell? We have an epidemic of gun violence, and these kids have PTSD from it. They have to. We all do. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, Republicans and the NRA care about guns and not really people. You know, once it broke up into the profits and everything, then, you know, to fill with everybody else, you know. And the League of United Latin American Citizens is the oldest and largest Hispanic civil rights organization in the United States. They strongly condemn the derogatory language used by Greg Abbott when referring to the undocumented immigrants in his recent statement about that mass shooting. And when you think about mass shooting, most of these mass shootings are done by white men in their early 20s, some of them even older. And you wonder if racism have anything to do with it because, you know, these dropouts in society, these failures in life, you know, because their life is messed up and not going anywhere, They don't want to tend to blame immigrants and to degrade people who are non-white and everything, and scapegoating basically. Well,
you're right. You took the words right out of my mouth. They're basically used as scapegoats because they do not want to pass the proper legislation to keep our population a little bit safer. Do we think that, banning assault rifles will stop people from getting killed? Probably not, because it's the guns that are killing people, and we have mental health problems in this country, and we've talked about all. But the thing is that once you have some basic laws in place, they, like in New York, where they have strong, gun legislation, they have less problems than they do in the red, and I'm going to say it's in the red states, I'm sorry, where they do not have, where they have loose gun legislation, where they can walk and carry a gun no matter where they go. And
And based on statistics from 1996, when Bill Clinton signed a bill into law banning assault weapons, there was a 200% decrease in violent crimes. And the statute ran out, and Republicans were in power. George W. Bush refused to sign it back into law and everything. So this is why we have a lot of these mass shootings now, where, the gun, the Second Amendment, is more important than people's lives and everything. But enough of guns and everything. I want to talk about the rise and fall of ethics in American journalism. The internet and digital journalism has changed the game, because 24/7 news we're bombarded with information from all over, different types of information crossing between entertainment and hard-hitting journalism. So there's a blurred line when it comes down to news and what it is really is entertainment, So the mixing entertainment with news as for ratings and to make money and everything, So it's definitely a game changer using the internet, on the World Wide Web.
Yes, absolutely. We know that you can Google a question and, ask if so-and-so is alive or whatever, did this happen in this state? And we can get instant news. We have our news, we have our, our feeds and our phones. And you are right, it is 24/7. If you wanted to pay attention, it's 24/7. And it's overwhelming. And you do not know, you don't know that everything is true. So I guess you should, if you read the article, maybe go to another source and, check the article out or read it again in another source and see. But most people don't do that because they like they like their material to be kind of grabs them, and makes them excited, to see all these headlines. Not excited in a good way, but it just makes you, like, oh my God, today, look at what happened. Oh my gosh, this happened. And it's crazy. And we're constantly bombarded with information that we don't even know what to do with it anymore.
And the thing about it, with people like Fox News muddying the waters and AON and Newsmax, the right-wing media, not telling the truth and making shit up as they go along and everything. If we had the fairness doctrine, if that were brought back, then, organizations like that would not exist. And that's what we need in America right now. Not only hard-hitting news, but also factual news. Fox News play a big disturbance. I just saw a lawsuit against Dominion, and one coming up against Smartmatic. But they're putting out information out there that the noise falls and everything. The regular American who caught up in the partisanship, where no matter what the party done, their party is right and everything. Is that feeding into that ego? That's why America's message is now in terms of journalism. Because Fox News is not journalism. It's right-wing propaganda and garbage. One call from Oakland, Oakland, Michigan. Go ahead, Lori, before I put this call on.
I was just going to say one more thing. Actually, you can take the call first, and then we'll talk about this in a minute. Go ahead.
Hello, Oakland, Michigan. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking? 248 zip error code. Hello, welcome to the show. Okay, I guess the person don't want to talk. They're shy.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Shy. No reason for it to be shy. We're friendly people.
Hello, Elaine, calling from Michigan. Hello, Elaine, what's cooking?
Hello, how are you and Laurie doing tonight?
Good,
how
are
good. You? Oh, good, Jack and
good, good, good. I want to add about the news media. We need to bring that fairness doctrine back. And let me explain another problem we have. We have very, very wealthy right-wing owners of some media.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are no rules, they're going to do as they darn well please.
Yeah.
And we need that fairness doctrine to set down some rules. And the rules are simple. If somebody shot somebody and shot them with three bullets, that's exactly what they did. Not they shot them with three bullets, and I think they were black, and I think they were an immigrant, and I think they picked their nose.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't need that. We only need the facts.
Yeah,
I hope
absolutely.
The people out there understand why I'm putting those crazy examples. But that's what you get. That's what you get from a lot of the media.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that I've been conversing with on Facebook have gone to C-SPAN. That's the only thing they listen to. Because C-SPAN doesn't give their opinion.
No, they do not. You're right.
So,
well, you know, I'm disappointed. Well, after Don Lemon was fired, even before that, Chris Cuomo as well was let go. And I don't really know the reason, but after Chris Cuomo was let go, I quit watching CNN because I thought, you know, I really liked him. I liked Don Lemon. And so it's been a long time since I've watched CNN. But today, CNN, in my opinion, has stooped to a new low because they are going to, they have announced that CNN will host a New Hampshire town hall event for Donald Trump. It's going to be, I think, on May the 10th. So the Angelo Cusimano, chief executive of Media Matters for America, a progressive watchdog, said the transparent attempt goes to goose their ratings does at all feel a little odious, but all the reason that they need to get this right. Now, in my opinion, with everything that is going on with Donald Trump, with all the lawsuits that he's got going with the investigation of January 6th, of course, Georgia, the rape trial and the defamation trial, and then the one in New York as well. Why would CNN stoop so low and to put him front and center for a town hall? And we know that when they ask him questions, they're going to be lies that comes out of his mouth for answers. So
that's absolutely unbelievable.
They're no better than Fox. Am I right or wrong?
Well, what they're trying to do is cater to right-wing viewers and everything.
Of course they
are.
It's
all about money. So the more viewers that they get, the more revenue they get.
Yes.
More
well,
advertisers
coming
to America.
Yes. Well, CNN's ratings are down in the toilet right now. So that's part of the problem with CNN. But the thing is that, so they're going to put, a town hall with Trump. Really? The liar in chief? The liar in chief? That's what they're going to do? That's how low they have stooped? I will never turn on CNN again. Never. So
if they want the ratings to go up, why don't they interview Donald Trump and ask him how the trial's going? Ask him pertinent questions to all the lawsuits that he's in. Ask him if he's innocent. Then have him sit up there and lie, lie, lie. That would be
reporting. No, they're not going to do that.
But to have a town hall?
Yes. They're going to have an audience that, you know, they're probably Trump supporters, or they are, as they call them, on the fence, however you want to say it, voters. And they're going to ask him little questions. And he's still talking about, you know, 2020 election was rigged. And they're going to have a town hall. I mean, the more I think about it, the more upset I get. So I'm going to just stop. I hope I made my point.
You sure did.
Well, if we look at who own the media, the mass media, there are five families who own the mass media in America.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are billionaires, and all of them lean conservatively.
Yeah.
Not necessarily
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump fans, but to give heavily to the Republican Party. MSNBC,
mm-hmm.
When they were bought out, the first thing they did was fire Keith Olbermann. And it's just like, you know, Fox News have ratings because there's no FCC. They're on cable, and the FCC basically don't have any power to say, hey, that's not right, you know. That's reporting propaganda and everything. And it could be repeatedly shown that what Fox News said is rubbish. But because, you know, they have such a big audience and everything, especially the bill movement's upwards, you know, and then some... You know, like Generation X, where the parents and grandparents were Republicans, so they wanted to feed into that information or the propaganda, I should say. You know, and not really, you know, look at the different facts that are out there. There's just one click of the button, and you can go on Google to search different information out there on a particular subject, not just listen to Fox News and everything, but, you know, some people are so programmed and so ignorant, you know, that they just stick to what they know and they don't give any way or energy to, like, find a note some other side of the story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They don't try to look for facts, you know, but they go with the propaganda. And that's what killing America.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm thankful for Kitchen Politics 1-2-3 because we tell the facts.
Yes, and the
facts are spoken.
Yes,
and the bigger the audience, the more facts
are
going to be given out.
For a moment, Keith Olbermann, you know, he's a Trump critic. He's a former MSNBC host, as we know. And he went on to say, I think we can say Chris Licht's conversion of CNN into a political and journalistic whorehouse is complete. That's what he said. And I'll agree with him.
He called him a whorehouse?
Yes, he's he called CNN, yes. That's what he called it, yes.
Cool.
A journalistic whorehouse.
Wow.
So, yeah, exactly. But you know what? I'm not even going to argue about it, so I don't care anymore. And I think the next one probably to go is, I can't see, who am I thinking of next? The other gentleman that's on
Richard
there, David, help me. No, on CNN.
Aaron Malberg. On CNN, Anderson Cooper,
CNN.
Who was
I know who you're talking about.
I can't see Anderson Cooper staying there. I really can't, because he is an excellent journalist. He tells, you know, the truth. He's always been just facts only. You never hear him, you know, talk about this and that or get out of control with his voice or anything. And I can't see him staying there. It's an injustice to him to stay at CNN.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hope that he goes over to MSNBC or something like that, you know.
Yeah, I guess it's called a shy still from 248 error code. Let's try again.
I think it is. Can I chime in for
sure.
a second? All right. Yeah. I'm going to talk about pure unadulterated racism that I viewed
okay.
this weekend.
Oh, good.
And I have
That'd
decided
good,
that this is going to be my battle.
Okay. Go ahead.
I went to, there's this marvelous entertainer by the name of Billy Davis. He is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He trained Jimi Hendrix on how to play the guitar. He made Jimi Hendrix a star.
Mm-hmm.
He got acquainted with a young little whippersnapper that was on a harmonica. He was about 5 or 6 years old. His name is Mighty Mike. They teamed up. Now, this 80-year-old young man teamed up with this young fellow, this young boy. He's now, I think he's 14 or 15.
Okay,
so they go to this venue. Now, these service clubs have open venues. When they have entertainment, they're open. They never used to be that way, but they have been that way for at least 10 or 15 years because they want to bring in money to pay the bills. Okay?
Are you talking about,
I'm talking about the American Legion post in Royal Oak, 253.
Okay, understood.
Billy and his group were to play, along with Mighty Mike, in the evening, and they were going to bring in lots of people from all over the Tri-County area to celebrate Billy Davis's birthday.
Okay.
Well, these characters at this club decided to play games and lock the door. It was not an open venue like it was supposed to be. First, they claimed that they had to follow the zoning ordinance. They were too crowded. Well, when my husband and I and my daughter, and by the way, my husband is a veteran and so is my daughter, when we walked in, there was no real estate in that clubhouse that could be had. Every table, every bar stool, every piece of floor was taken up with people.
Okay.
But all of a sudden, they decided after a while, they knew that some of the people would leave, that they were going to play a game, and they started locking the door. Now, as I understand, and the two callers on the line can fill in at any, you can chime in at any time, because you've got the other side of the stories to tell. As I understand, people went to their car to charge their phone. They were not allowed back in.
Oh, good.
I didn't realize this till quite late. My daughter kept saying, why is that door locked? Why does that girl keep waving? Jerry and I had just come from a fundraiser. The girl has got stage 4 cancer. We were there to relax, so I kind of dropped the ball. I wasn't as keen as I usually am. But it started to dawn on me that something was funny. The place was emptying and nobody was coming in. Yet there were people in the foyer.
Yeah,
one
The sentence, Elaine?
Go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah, I think what we want to get into the main point of this is that when people wanted to come in, including Billy Davis's relatives, by the way, it was the 85th birthday of Billy Davis. Rhythm and Blues Hall of Fame, Doo-Wop Hall of Fame. They were told, you must be a veteran and you must be a member of this American Legion post. This was a public event. As a matter of fact, Billy Davis played there New Year's Eve, just a matter of 4 months ago, and we didn't suspect a problem. For some reason now, there was a doorman there, and as Billy's own relatives wanted to come in, and there was floor space, the reason, Elaine, a lot of people were emptying out is the American Legion members themselves often come for dinner and leave. Okay, the people the Billy's fans, and these were also people like the president of the National Rhythm and Blues Society, some very famous mm-hmm. singers like Spider Turner, I can go on, huge celebrities,
mm-hmm.
Most people of color, okay? Billy is with
okay.
in Mississippi. He's a black icon, music icon.
Okay.
That was with Hank Ballard and Midnighters for many years. Best friend of Sam Cooke, played. He was the guitarist for Jackie Wilson. He's done the whole Chitlin circuit during the 60s when we up here in Michigan had equal rights for black folks who can vote and eat. He played at places where he couldn't use the bathroom or eat. He's familiar with bigotry. He didn't even mm-hmm. know what was going on at that door. I did approach the man who was the doorman for that evening that came in there, and he said no. He was very rude. He did call Elaine obscene names. He was calling other people who were trying to come in, shutting the door on them, and there was space here. He was calling him obscene names. Okay?
Say that you can say it on the air, Linda. Let the people know what they were saying.
Yeah, I'm not going to repeat those words. I don't want to be liable for any obscenities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was pretty ugly. I witnessed it. I tried to reason with him. He was just mm-hmm. boasting his tours in Iraq, and I thanked him for his service to our country. But this is mm-hmm. a public event. It was posted on Facebook. It was also on the American Legion of Royal Oak Facebook page. So mm-hmm. that event was posted on there. It was open to everybody. I'm the grandmother of this little boy mm-hmm. called Mighty Michael. Okay, he has a national reputation now. People are coming in to see this amazing thing. There was a film called Paradise Boogie that was produced about 3-4 years ago that highlighted the relationship between Billy Davis and this young protege of his. Billy does not play mm-hmm. harmonica. Michael has been playing harmonica, but he's a darn good guitarist as well, okay? And mm-hmm. Now being 15, he's been getting a lot of national attention. He's playing around the country and so forth. So people were coming for, you know, it's a very unique experience to see this amazing a man who's passing the torch on, and Michael,
yes.
you know, songs that come from 1959. Billy wrote
mm-hmm.
The Twist. The original version of The Twist with Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
Wow.
But I witnessed him saying, and he said it to me, I did not lose my temper, of course. You know, I tried to reason with the man. He said, they must be a vet. I said, are you aware that Billy Davis is a vet? He was in Korea. Matter of fact, he had Jimi Hendrix, who was his student, so to speak, take his spot with Hank Ballard while he went to Korea, you know, that he had
mm-hmm.
was in the Army. He said, well,
mm-hmm.
that means he already has allowed one guest, and you're already a guest, you know. And
can I ask you who this man was? I mean,
yeah, this
was he a manager?
Doorman. Yeah, it was a doorman. I'm sorry?
I know, but what authority did he have? That's my question.
Exactly. I said, you know, so when you have somebody who's speaking for the entire American Legion post, all membership, and the manager saw it, the bar manager saw it, people were seeing what was going on there, and yet this man...
There was a bar manager that argued with me.
Yeah,
there was a bar manager that when I snapped the picture of the locked door and the three men standing by the door with people in the foyer, that was the bar manager that called me an old bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
The bar manager told my husband to get me under control. That's when Harry lost it.
Yeah.
My daughter came up to find out what was going on, and the bar manager kept screaming at me for her to control her bitch of a mother.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There was another young fellow that tried to provoke my daughter. My daughter didn't need to be provoked. She's also a veteran.
Wow.
Now, the people that were turned away, like I said, are primarily the African-American, you know, followers that are very big in the Motown scene here. Matter of fact, Billy was Berry Gordy's very first session player, you know, when
mm-hmm.
he was nothing more than 17, 18 years old. He had his own band. He was the
wow.
first session player for Motown's Berry Gordy. Okay, and
wow.
So I mean, he has a very large following, but his own son and his granddaughter couldn't get in. His cousin Ruthie with her two friends couldn't get in, and I'm finding out more names. Being told they have to be members of the American Legion. So they're allowing this guy to get away with what they're doing, meaning he's reflecting their position. Nobody took him away and said, this is crazy. There was plenty of space at that point because a lot of their people, I pointed out, I said, there's 4, 5, 6 tables right there. You know, but said, no, he stood on the grounds. They had to be either a vet or as well as a member of that post.
Okay, and can I ask a question? Is there some sort of a council in that American Legion Hall that you can go to?
That's what we're doing. I'm getting names of all the people involved at that. There's another American Legion that's in a nearby town of Berkeley, and that
he's played many times.
They're supplying me the names.
Mm-hmm.
I point blank put them on call and told the bar manager that they were playing a racism game. That's when he really lost it. That's when he starts screaming, I'm a vet. I said, I don't care if you're a vet. If you're a vet, then you shouldn't be playing this racism game.
There are many vets.
I said, you know darn well that many of this band's people are of color. And he kept calling me an old bitch and an old bitch, thinking that I was going to say something else to him. Now, one of the gentlemen, I forgot his name, but Linda will fill you in on his name. I got vibes from him when he was doing a tribute to Billy Davis. It was a blues. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even posted his tribute. I caught the feeling from him, down heart blues. He got to do this performance with his friend only because one of the band members opened the back door and let him in. Because he was refused entry at the regular door. That's wrong. That's racism.
And there's a door where they, because the band wants to come directly in, set up their equipment, and some knew to come around, and the drummer opened the door and let some of those entertainers in. Because they were turned away.
I pushed the envelope as the bar manager kept telling me, now and my husband and my daughter, that we had to leave or we would be thrown out. We sat there and said, throw us out. We weren't going to move. I pushed the point, call the police. I wanted this situation on record.
Wow.
And he wouldn't call the police. Finally, one of the men in that club called the police. When I saw him calling the police on his cell phone, then I knew this is now going to be on record. I made it a point to keep saying, call the police. I talked to the police in the parking lot, and hopefully, got my fingers crossed, I've got to commend the Royal Oak Police. They were very fine gentlemen. They let me talk. They let me explain. And I did explain the racism to them.
Wow.
And I told them that I wasn't going to let it go. And that bar manager came outside and started screaming again at my husband. And the police told him to go back inside.
Wow.
You know, the thing about it is that, since 2016, when Donald Trump came out and ran second term for president, all these types of racists came out that had no shame, that had no dignity, no self-respect and everything. Instead of, the people, some people asking if there should be a maximum age for presidents, how about a minimum IQ for people in Congress and for people running for president?
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that these racist people, that was at a club and everything. Back in the days, they didn't dare come out, and say these things to women, these horrible things to women, they call calling it whore bitch and such things like that. You know, so can thank Donald Trump and today's Republican Party for such indecent behavior. You know, and hopefully. Go ahead, Laurie.
No, go ahead. I disagree with you.
Yeah. You know, and hopefully, you know, people like that will go back under the rocks that it can. Because in the 21st century, there's no place for racism or sexism. Or xenophobia in America, you know, you know, I'm sure that y'all have to went through that because of these ignorant people.
I find that appalling.
Okay,
and I'm glad
Linda, about approximately how many people so far do you think were refused entry that we know of? Would you estimate it to be about 20 people?
Oh yeah, at least. At least the names are just, it's amazing how different people, Dave Marcaccio, the drummer, he wanted to come in, the very famous Maruga Booker, you know, world-renowned, you know, drummer. He was.
Well, just mention what color they are so that the folks understand that this is racism.
Well, some of them are white and some of them
and
are black.
And some of them are chocolate or brown.
Mm-hmm.
People of color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have
an
idea for you.
When we were leaving, there was a tall, elderly gentleman that was standing in the foyer, and behind him was two very small, petite black girls. Now, you tell me that wasn't racism. Those black girls, I don't know how long they were waiting there. I don't know who they were because I knew the police were coming, and I went outside, and we sat in our car, and we waited for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, their position is a very right-wing position, and this fellow who was the doorman reminded me of some of the people you saw storming the White House on January 6th. You know, and the guy was, I could see him getting off where he could become violent because he was screaming at people, calling them obscene names. And people were taking
video.
And
the other thing that you think about, you know, the other thing that you have to, you know, remember is that, you know, any of them could have a concealed weapon on them, and you don't even know it.
That's right.
That's the other scary part you can bring into the scenario.
Excuse me, it's Sue. I have an idea for you. Both of you, get a hold of the Detroit News reporters and the Royal Oak reporters and spread this all over the front page.
Yeah.
It's got to be told. People have to know, and there's got to be outrage.
Yeah, it is just so appalling that on a daily basis we have to hear these stories of racism in the 21st century. We are 2023, for God's sake. You know, they're trying to erase history. It's just beyond my comprehension, and it makes me so sad.
To me, I'm going to tell you something. You say it's 2023. To me, it feels like it's 1966.
We are going back.
Me back, and I said to Elaine, who's introduced the subject to you, that, you know, at this point, at my age, and I'm not in good health, I don't have the strength to do what I did as a political activist here in Detroit, you know, in the 60s. And I was very politically active in the 60s, not only in the civil rights movement as well as the anti-war movement. And I said, it's like, we just lost over 55 years, you know.
Since
1968, which is the year I got married, and the year that there were a lot of assassinations in 1968, I just feel like it's all gone back. It's been lost. It's been gone. And I see it just openly. As a matter of fact, more bold now than ever here up in Detroit. Okay? And it's hard to get the younger generation. I say younger. It really does age me to say this, but I used to teach college. I'm a well-known exhibiting artist, and I taught with some major, you know, universities here. And you don't see the activism on campus like we did back in the 60s, especially coming out of, say, Madison, Wisconsin, where my brother was an organizer. We don't see that happening. We can't get folks. I'm saying I'm running out of steam. I'm dealing with my own health issues right now, and it's an everyday challenge. We need those folks, and that's why I brought up names that were younger folks that were there. They need to take over and participate in some of these practices.
Well, they will. And you have
hopefully your audience includes young folks listening here.
Well, the other thing
yes, definitely.
There is. And the other thing that you have to remember is that back in the 60s, they didn't have cell phones. You know, there was no internet. There was none of that. So what other choice did they have except to go out into the streets, right?
Right.
To get their voice heard.
Yeah.
Now we do have social media. We have, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I mean, these kids are all connected by social media. So you don't maybe see them physically, but trust me, they're out there.
That's how this got started. I took my cell phone and took a picture of the locked door and the three goons standing by it. Also, in that picture, which is on Facebook, you can see that the whole back section of that hall is empty, and even the seats around the bar are empty.
Yeah. That's where the American members are sitting there.
And, I agree with Susie. I would call the Detroit News, the free Macomb. Well, it wasn't in Macomb, right? It was in Oakland. Is that Oakland County?
Oakland County.
Oakland County.
Yeah, so I would get a hold of, I'm sure they have a local paper, just like the Macomb Daily.
Yeah, they do.
I would do that and see, because that is blatant racism in its finest hour.
Yeah.
And you experience, I can tell that I don't know how I would have reacted. I probably would have been in a lot of trouble. So,
well, the police officer that was questioning me, I was sitting in the car. He asked me for my name, my address, and my date of birth, and a phone number. Mm-hmm. And I asked him if he wanted to see my ID. Normally they ask for ID. He looked at me and he said, "Ma'am, I know you're telling the truth, and I know you're telling me your name and your address and your age and et cetera." And we must have talked for about 45 minutes, and he asked me if I was composed enough, because he could see I was upset. Was I able to drive? And I said I was doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
what about the TV station?
Spread
Channel 7, Channel 2 down there. Spread it. Spread it around. It should not be allowed.
No.
Here was a tribute to a great artist, and they would let people in?
I witnessed this type of thing when Barack Obama was elected. There was a couple service clubs in the area, I don't remember which ones now, that wouldn't put up Barack Obama's picture. You know how all the service clubs have a picture of the president?
Yeah.
One in particular, they took the picture and put it over the toilets.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. And when I called, I called the commander. He said, "We can put the picture wherever we want to put the picture. That's our right."
Wow. Yeah, like I said, Elaine.
It's called pick your battles. And this one I have decided I am picking, and I'm going to stick to it.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to move on now. I appreciate, listening to this, and it's just made me even a little bit more.
Thank you for your time.
Huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for giving us the time.
Yeah, for sure.
No problem. No problem.
This is something that needs to be heard, because it's going on all over the country in different ways, and we see it over and over again, and it needs to be heard and dealt with. So thank you, both of you.
Listen for a second also. Today on Rachel Maddow, I caught the very beginning before your show, she was talking about all the neo-Nazis in Ohio and Columbus and all that coming out in hoods, red shirts, and swastikas. groups protesting in front of gay bars and gay churches and even firebombing. And it's like all over Cleveland, Columbus, and all that. You got to say something because it's going to be here. I am glad I'm not living in Macomb anymore. I moved up north. We're not as bad up here. Holy cow.
You watch your back, Susie. You watch your back.
Oh, yeah.
It's not what you think it is.
Oh, we got the megas up here, too, but not as many. I mean, we got space. But you got to watch. They're everywhere. And when I saw she was talking about all these different towns in great big cities having protests with Nazi flags and uniforms and going Sieg Heil, it's just, I can't believe it. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's out of control.
Oh, people don't expect it from an American Legion. You know, they don't expect that happening there.
Yeah. Scary. Very scary. It really is. Okay, we're going to go on now. David has a question here. So go ahead, David.
Oh, yeah. So the question basically is there a lack of diversity in the mainstream media because Fox News is mostly white compared to other news outlets like MSNBC, ABC, NBC, what have you? Mm-hmm. You know, is there proper representation, a gaze of women, of, you know, different sectors in society that make up society? What do you think, Lori?
If you're talking about Fox News,
Fox News is mostly white. We all know that Fox News is mostly white. I'm asking, is there, proper, is there a lack of diversity, in the mainstream media, in terms of print media, in terms of television, what do you think? Should there be more representation?
Probably yes. But I do think that MSNBC is pretty diverse. I do think MSNBC is. CNN, not really. Then we have, the other. Probably not as diverse as I'd like to see it. That's my answer.
Mm-hmm,
I really believe that.
What do you think, Susie?
Well, I'm watching CNN. I'm watching The Crawl with the sound off, and I see a black man, a black woman, a Latino, and two white women. So in a talking group, and they're on the show. So that's a pretty good mix. I can't. They're a lot better than it used to be. It's improving. But I think that people, they shouldn't call like Fox or Newsmax news shows. Their opinion. Editorial channels. That's it. They should not be able, like you said, the rules of what was that? Diversity or Elaine said the word before.
I can't remember it either right now.
The regulation of the news. You have to have certain rules. They got to be the facts. You can't just
bullshit. Fairness doctrine. Fairness doctrine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what should be on. The news channels and newspapers. Mm-hmm. Nobody reads newspapers anymore, but whatever. That should be part of it because it should qualify opinions versus news. And people tend to only look at the sources that reinforce their beliefs. So the far right only go to far right channels like Newsmax and Fox. And the other ones, like us, will go to CNN, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, PBS, and all that stuff. Get a general idea, the AP, to get your news. And they're the open-minded ones. But you can't help the other ones because they're brainwashed.
Absolutely.
Listen, Donald Trump is bragging that he would beat Ron DeSantis in 2024. That's like syphilis bragging. That's better than gonorrhea. Do you think any Republican out there can take on Joe Biden and actually come to him with decent policies, you know, mm-hmm. that differ with Joe Biden and everything. And could this mm-hmm. Republican actually govern? What's your thought, Lori, and Susan, and Elaine? What's your thought?
Absolutely not. I mean, Joe Biden has basically saved our country. You know, we were in a lot of trouble before, you know, during COVID, and, you know, and I mean, he's brought in policy.
Lots of jobs.
Lots of jobs.
Mm-hmm. Outsourcing,
yeah.
What have you.
Yes, they, yeah, I mean, they did all of that. And
mm-hmm.
so he's trying to bring things back. That's why he's running for another four years. Do I really think
mm-hmm.
that this is what he had planned for his life? Probably not. But he really believes that he can do the job. And so far,
mm-hmm.
I can't really complain. So, but do I think a Republican can do a job? No, absolutely not. Just look at what they want to do with the debt ceiling, David. I mean, let's go
mm-hmm.
through those facts. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insane. You know, the things that
mm-hmm.
they want to do. So, I mean, how can we trust them? We can't. You know, they want to cut. Let's just go through real quick. This
mm-hmm.
is what was brought. You know, this is what they came up with, the Republicans. You know, to curb for the debt ceiling. So that they don't, you know, put us in over the edge. Let's put it that way. So they cut.
Mm-hmm.
They want to cut. Let's see, 30,000 VA visits for veterans. 30 million VA visits for veterans. Cut 22% of the VA budget. Eliminate
mm-hmm.
funding for housing choice. Vouchers for as many as 50,000 veterans, kick 300,000 kids out of child care and Head Start, evict 400,000 families from their homes, kick 1 million seniors off of Meals on Wheels, kick 1 million mothers and children off the WIC Nutritional Assistance Program, eliminate Pell Grants for 80,000 students and reduce grant funding for millions of others, close 125 air traffic control towers, scale back rail safety inspection, estimate funding for 11,000 plus FBI personnel, 2,000 plus border patrol agents, and hundreds of police, send manufacturing jobs overseas, roll back Biden's environmental protection plan, and deny 750,000 workers job training and employment services. So that's a little bit of what they do. And who are they going
after? Oh, and they want to eliminate a lot of the new IRS agents because they don't want to be audited.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, the rich friends in them, you know. And added to which... Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, added to
go
which,
ahead,
when they cut all these programs, you know,
mm-hmm.
they want to give a future tax cut to the wealthy, the 1%, you know, and,
yeah.
you know, because they are of the opinion that if you get a tax cut for the wealthy,
mm-hmm.
that will create more jobs. But we have seen in the past,
mm-hmm.
since Ronald Reagan till now, you know, that if you do that, what corporations will do, that excess money go to the shareholder, and it
yeah.
goes to overseas places that will have unions, so the pay the workers pennies,
mm-hmm.
like in China and Indonesia and wherever else where they have no union
mm-hmm.
laws and everything. And offshore
mm-hmm.
banking is a big thing for them. So when they get these big tax cuts, that's where the money goes. It's not pumped back in the
mm-hmm.
economy to have jobs and to train people, you know. That's what Republicans stand for.
I
want
to see the Democrats stand firm on this point here. I grew up with a dad that used to brag at Christmas time, he knowing that tax time was going to come in the spring, and he would say, I'm paying more taxes this year because I made more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yet my rich
mm-hmm.
uncles, all they did
mm-hmm.
was cry.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the millionaires pay their fair share of the taxes. They have made more money. They have quadrupled their money during the pandemic, and now they are punishing us by raising prices. I want to see them pay their fair share of taxes, and we do not have to cut programs for regular people. And as far as Joe Biden, he has done an awesome job. And so is Carmela. Oh my God, I can't even remember our vice president's name. Carmela Harris.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, Carmela Harris has also done an awesome job, and so has his cabinet. He has picked the brightest and the best. He didn't pick swamp people.
No, he did not.
Yeah, and you know, back in the 1950s, 1952, when Eisenhower was elected, he put a tax on Wall Street type people, 65% to 70%. And that's how infrastructure in the United States, where we had roads, we had bridges, we had schools, we had different things, infrastructure, because of Eisenhower's taxing the rich, you know, made America come into the 20th century after World War II. So Biden is asking for an increase of 35 to 40% with the 1%. Now, compared to Eisenhower, what Eisenhower asked for, and comparing what Joe Biden asked for, it's not too much to ask by Joe Biden. You know, why the filthy rich want to just take, and not give back to the United States to build up everybody? You know, they're selfish, they're cruel, they're horrible people.
I'm sorry. Another important point to tell the Republicans, Eisenhower was a Republican.
Yeah,
exactly.
Who fought of the people. So can't they start thinking like Eisenhower? I'm sick and tired of them quoting Reagan.
No, yeah.
And another thing, like all the CEOs, even of hospitals, make exorbitant amount of money.
Oh,
like
$54 million
a year for a hospital CEO, and the nurses can't make $20 or $40 what they should be getting.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and
they don't have the money because they got to give it to them. The oil companies and all that. I mean, they're making record profits, and I haven't heard any wells or processing plants have been shut down or problems, and yet the gas prices aren't where they should be. They raised them during the pandemic, and they left it there because they made more money. They haven't come down, food prices and everything. Transportation is back to normal, so what's the excuse?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You know, the thing is that we have to just know, we have to understand that the billionaires and the corporations are the welfare people. They are the people that are collecting welfare off of us. You have to think about it that way. This
corporate
is exactly
welfare,
They are the welfare people. They have got, you know, and we have Republicans that, you know, God forbid if someone loses their job and, you know, they need to go on Medicaid for a little while or have some government assistance, you know, they have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, mind you. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that they have talked about forever, and it's so wrong. It's so wrong.
And prices of everything is inflated, like cars. Okay, they got their chips now. Has the price come down?
No.
Okay. How is the kid supposed to buy a car and go to college? And then maybe get a rent on an apartment that, you know, is over $1,200 a month for just rent on a crappy apartment.
No.
It is insane. Why? Why is the rents and mortgages so high, housing so high? It's the same damn thing that happened before the virus. The virus supposedly is all better, and everybody's back to normal. So why aren't the prices coming down?
Because of greed. We know why. It's greed. People will pay the price, you know.
And Congress won't control it because they're bought and paid for by all the corporates.
Of course. And they're all making money. It's all we've said it hundreds of times on this program that it's all about money, greed, and power. That's it.
And screw the public.
Yeah. Basically, yes.
Okay, so the what journalism should be focusing on now is the fact that the anti-drag laws have been introduced in Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Texas, and West Virginia. They institute these anti-drag laws to protect kids. So the child marriage is legal in 12 of these certain 13 states that I just mentioned. You know, and Republicans are dressing up and pretending to be good people who care about kids while protecting child rape. Because in West Virginia, for example, and Montana and Missouri, they allow little girls as young as 12 years old to be married. Why isn't the mainstream media talking about this and talking about elected officials who refuse to make a law protecting these children? That's child rape, for as far as I'm concerned. If it wasn't for the internet, we wouldn't know these things. You know, why is the media not, you know, why is the media not reporting on things that isn't calling out these politicians? You know? Again, the church have a big role in it because the church has money and the church has influence and power over these politicians, especially in Utah and in Montana, you know, and Wyoming, places like that, you know? So the media have a responsibility to calling out, you know, church people or the mega churches, you know, what's your perspective on that, Lori?
Oh, absolutely. You're absolutely right. They are all about, and it goes back to money and greed because, you know, these preachers, you know, they prey on these people. I don't mean the word prey, but I mean P-R-E-Y on these people. And, you know, they want money from them. They get rich from them. They tell them what they want to hear, and they give money. And that's what every religion and a lot of places has turned into. And it's sad. It's very sad, you know. And the other thing is that, okay, they're also saying now they are pro. I'm going to just say one more thing, and then Susie here, whoever wants to go on. You know, they're pro-life, right? Anti-abortion. They're pro-life. But why is it that, you know, they like Marjorie Taylor Greene mocked a woman that had adopted her child, her daughter, and she was a lesbian, but she was married, and she said she wasn't a real mother. So in other words, they do not want you to have an abortion, but if you adopt, you're not a real mother. So what is it that they are for? Anything? No.
No, not even contraception. They should give it out free. If you don't want to have abortions, then don't let the woman get pregnant, right?
But the thing
as far as I'm concerned, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a whore who should shut her mouth. Because she don't know how to legislate in a damn thing. And she's, you know, and these Republicans, you know, always run on family values and everything. And instead of doing the right thing, Mike Pence last week was at this forum talking about if we're pro-life, we should be for adoption. But on the other hand, now we have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who talking about, if you're an adoptive parent, you're not a parent and everything. Should shut her whole mouth, okay, and worry about making legislation about protecting children from gun violence, you know?
No.
And protecting the middle class and creating jobs, working with Democrats and Biden.
Yeah.
We should be for adoption. Well, why is adoption $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 before you can get a child? And then it's only the blonde, blue-eyed babies that get adopted by the very, very wealthy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. I'm tired of the hypocrites and their lingo.
Yeah, absolutely.
I couldn't afford to adopt a child.
No.
Not that kind of money.
No.
I could afford to raise one. But not adopt them.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. No, it's.
I mean, Mike Pence is talking through his hypocritical mouth. Adopt a child.
Yeah, you know. And the other thing, what I don't know exactly who did this, but it was a Republican, and they mocked Mattel because Mattel released, I don't know if you know, you guys know this, they released a Barbie that had Down syndrome.
So they finally did? I've got a friend that was fighting for that. Oh, thanks. Thank you for the wonderful information.
Yeah, but the Republicans mocked that as well. Why?
They're pigs.
Oh, I've got a good friend that has been fighting for, I don't know how many years, for a Down syndrome doll so that the Down syndrome little girls and boys can play with a doll that looks like them.
Yes. They released
You know what? You just made my day. I'm ready to cry. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Okay, David,
yes,
what is the next question?
Oh, well,
I'm sorry, Laurie. That was such good news. That was such awesome news. Go on, Laurie.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. When we talk about journalism and the way that it was maybe back in the days when there was a newspaper, what we read was more truthful than what a lot of times what we're reading now on the Internet.
For sure.
So we have to pick our sources, and we also have to double-check what we read. David, what are some of the news outlets that you trust? I know who I trust, so go ahead.
PBS, C-SPAN, because they're the most neutral of all channels out there. Air America was on, but they're defunct now, unfortunately.
Yes.
The two that comes to mind, really, is PBS and Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. That's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
That's very neutral. I'm trying to speak facts and everything. C-SPAN is a favorite of mine. And that's the only three that really can constitute as true journalism, because everybody else have their agenda. MSNBC is left-wing. Fox News is right-wing and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you can get information from each, but it's good to get information from different sources, but we can safely say that, you know, Fox.
Mm-hmm.
What about?
Go ahead.
No, I'm
I
finished. Last question.
What about Huffington Post and ProPublica? What do you think about them?
Well, I never read ProPublica till recently, so I haven't formed an opinion on them yet. Huffington Post is, I try to be neutral, but, you know, I think they're left-leaning.
The
AP?
Associated
I'm
Press?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, like I say, I don't really want to read AP, Associated Press. It's just one or two things that may come up on everything. But I usually stick to PBS and Amy Goodman.
What about
C-SPAN?
ABC, CBS, NBC, the regular networks that Cronkite and all them guys used to be on?
I watch them occasionally.
They usually report the facts. They don't give opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing with these news organizations now is that they want to mix entertainment with journalism. You know, why should a news reader or a reporter have an agent, for example? You know, you're not a movie star. You're not an actor. So what are you having an agent for, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you may
agree
disagree with what I just said, but, you know.
No, I don't. I mean, they make a lot of money. That's not a joke, you know. And you have also, who else do I'm trying to think who else I usually go to. I like Huffington Post. I'm like you. I do like the AP. I don't know. I like Chris Hayes. I don't know. I feel like Rachel is very much on the money. And I know they're both MSNBC. but they do have podcasts as well. What do you think of, like, David, like the Midas Touch? You know, those.
Yeah, the Midas Touch is good. The Young Turks, you know, independent media like that, where they're not beholden to anybody, no cooperation or anything. That's good for journalism. Because you have unfettered truth where you don't look at the facts, they weigh out the facts, and they just spit out, you know, information that the mass media owned by these different seven families, you know, refuse to report, you know. They're not calling to anybody. So it's good in the sense that, you know, they speak the truth without any consequences where the child get fired or they're not be censored or anything. So I think independent media is a good thing, like the Young Turks, Midas Touch, places like that.
The one thing that's just flashing up on CNN is the godfather that discovered AI, the pioneer. He quit Google, and he warns the public of tech problems that we're dangers that we're going to have. The spread of misinformation, no kidding, right? Displacing of jobs with AI and developing killer robots. Those are the three things he's warned the public about right now. It's all over CNN.
Great.
That's scary.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, we already got disinformation, and they're losing jobs like crazy left and right, all these... media, you know, Facebook and all them guys are firing people like crazy right now. So I don't know. And killer robots, I don't know. I like the dancing ones that they showed. The killer ones, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true too. You know. Yeah, I just remember.
Thing on AI. Do you think AI would have the capability to, the nuclear codes and everything, could they outsmart humans in terms of, overriding the systems that we put in place for the nuclear weapons and everything? That's a possibility with AI.
Yeah.
You know?
Now you make me stay up all night again tonight, right, Dave?
No.
Oh, my God.
But think about it. Now, you have to be seriously. I agree, because artificial intelligence is out there. We know it's out there. You know, they can make a fake Donald Trump. They can make a fake Joe Biden. They can make a fake, you know, whoever they want to make. They can do it now. And we know that. And I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about basically
the video.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were showing, I forget where I saw it, how you can spot a fake video, you know, of different people about the color of the skin and the background and stuff like that. You have to watch real careful, but most people won't notice.
What about your robot calls?
Oh, God.
I don't mean robocalls. I mean robot calls. You know, hello, and they got your name. Hello, Elaine. How are you doing? I know you're on Medicare, and I know you're having a good day. Well, the average person in my age group will sit there and listen to them. Me, I'm using swear words, and the minute I'm using these swear words and they're not answering me back, so I know it's a robot.
Yeah, it's true.
Scary. It's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I'm old. I won't have to put up with this much longer.
Oh, come on.
I'll be gone before the world goes to crap, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope
not. What, you want to control it from up there?
Oh, Lord. It's a nightmare. I don't understand what's happening to our country. Like those Nazis and cutting benefits for people that need it here and yet. You should read I Alone Can Fix It, Dave. That is the cool thing. They're facts about the debt. Trump said he eliminated the debt when he raised it. I can't read on my phone here. $7.8 trillion, the do it. Go down that list. I mean, it's all, it's crap. Everything he says, everything he did, and yet people don't understand that. It has to be told and broadcast so people understand what horrible things he did and what Biden's done. They're not, you know, to counteract all that. He brought down the debt. And now we got the hostage situation with the debt and McCarthy. Oh, my God. It's scary.
I don't think Democrats will fall to McCarthy and the Republicans.
No.
What the Republicans want is cuts in different social programs.
That's what they got to holler about. They can't just sit back and say, "Oh, you're not raising the debt." But they said, "But this is what they want in exchange," and really broadcast all the cuts that they're going to do.
Well, they are. They
yeah,
are
and the thing is. And the thing is, three times when Donald Trump had to raise the debt ceiling, Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans said nothing.
No.
You know, so why the double standard and the hypocrisy? You know, but let's go to a lighter topic of conversation. The Met Gala is currently going on and everything. What's the purpose of the Met Gala? Anybody can tell me.
No, I don't even know.
I don't know anything. What is it? What is it?
The Metropolitan Art Gala. They get all dressed up, spend a lot of money to raise money for the museum.
Okay.
It's a fundraiser.
I guess it's good. I don't know.
They all get dressed up in ridiculous costumes. So it's supposed to be art.
Mm-hmm.
And they raise
$1 million. I noticed that the media focusing a lot of attention on this annual Met Gala and everything.
Yeah,
so
you know, that's what they want, the
publicity
for the art museum and all the celebrities dressed up in these crazy outfits and stuff. It's just a thing.
Yeah, these expensive. Yeah, these expensive outfits and everything. That can feed a country, basically.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible.
Yep.
So you're getting all of us a ticket, right?
Oh, no. Well, I wish. I wish. Okay, so do you think that whichever Republican is nominated in 2024, do you think Joe Biden can beat them? Lori?
I think if things keep going the way that they are, yes, I do. I do. I think that people are starting to understand that the Republicans are cruel. They have no intentions of helping everyday Americans, the middle class, the poor, social programs, infrastructure, you know, technology, you name it, the climate change, everything. They have no intention of bringing our country forward. Look,
they already voted against all that. I mean, everything that Biden did, they voted against. They didn't lift one finger, but then they went home and said, "Oh, look at the bridge that we're building. Yeah, you didn't do crap."
So do I think that Biden has a chance? Yes, I do. I do. I think he does.
Well, DeSantis went overseas and they ignored him. Well, he ignored them, and then they ignored him. And they didn't give him very good ratings. I think he got a flunking grade every place he went. The English, the business people over there, they thought he was just a great big joke.
Oh yeah, I saw that. They said he stared at his shoes. He had no personality.
And then he went to the Wailing Wall and he started to cry. The people overseas saw right through them.
The
people from Florida could
paid for that trip.
Yeah, but now if the people from Florida could only see through them.
I know. Yeah, while the tornado and floods were hitting, he was gone, right?
Absolutely gone. Yes, he was.
On the lighter side, the climate change, how many more days is Michigan going to have rain?
two more days next week. It's going to be in the 60s up here. Yay, and sunny, close to 70. We're going to get an inch and a half of snow tonight. UP is getting up to a foot, and the wind is blowing like crazy. I didn't know if you could hear it. It's I'm just waiting for the power to go out.
I mean, this weather is absolutely impossible. It's been raining and raining and raining and raining, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. And after that, Lake Michigan's blowing like crazy. We've been having gusts 25 to 40 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
If you have lawn furniture in the front porch, it's out in the yard.
So Trump's attorney requested a mistrial in a rape case and defamation case against E. Jean Carroll. Judge denied such motion. When will Donald Trump be finally held accountable for all the people he has hurt, and when will he be in prison? Because Jack Smith is coming close. When he interviewed Mike Pence, he's going to interview next the former chief of staff, Matt Meadows. And after Meadows, God knows who else. I think Meadows hopefully will be the last person, because we need to wrap this thing up. It's been going on for years now, months, whatever. And people need closure, want to sit Donald Trump behind bars. And even if he's behind bars, that don't stop him from running for election in 2024.
He can't do it from behind bars. No way.
No,
he can't run for office if he's in jail.
Well, see.
Yes, he can.
That's the
problem. Yeah, he can.
He hasn't been found guilty in anything yet. But in the news, the experts, former prosecutors say that Miller is just weeks away from bringing indictment.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
more than just Mar-a-Lago. And,
mm-hmm.
The January 6th. There's even more than that that he's into.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I heard
Georgia
a report on the rape trial. I'm sorry.
Georgia is ready to go, too, on voter tampering and other stuff like that. So it's coming.
Yeah.
I wish it's sooner than later.
I heard on the rape trial, I can't think of her name right now. It's got so much on my mind. But anyways, that Trump lawyer really, really went at her, and that she did a good job. Kept her composure, and she answered all the questions.
Yeah.
And I understand that he went at her in such a way that it was supposed to have been an awful sight. But that's the type of lawyer that Donald Trump's got.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I got to give her credit. I mean, she's not a young woman anymore. That has got to be very stressful for her to relive all of this again and then to go through this torture. So I give her an A, and I give her kudos. She's fighting for all of us.
Yes, she is. I agree. There's
and
one
then all
thing.
The other women are going to go and testify that me too.
Yeah.
So there's
absolutely.
Remember before he got into office, there was like 14 or something of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they
yeah.
still elected the idiot, even with the tape from that bus.
Oh, the Hollywood tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they still elected him. I don't get it.
Last thing that I want to talk about, just for a few minutes. When we had the last election. I don't know if any of you remember, there was election police that the Satan had. The election police. Okay, so now the fallout has begun because they did arrest a few people that were.
Oh, yeah,
had,
I saw that.
Okay. Yes, they had served in prison for different things, and they were let out. And they were under the impression, or they were told, that they could still vote. Well,
they mailed them voting cards. They mailed them voting cards. And so they went and voted.
Yes. So they told them that they could, vote, and they had their. So there is, a case that this is a destruction that has caused it in this one man's life. And I read this, and I think it's something that we need to hear about. It said the fallout came fast when Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, that's what I call him, new election police unit charged Peter Washington with voter fraud last summer as a part of a crackdown against felons who allegedly broke the law by casting a ballot. The Orlando resident lost his job supervising irrigation products and along with his family's health insurance. His wife dropped her virtual classes at Florida International University to help pay their rent. Future plans went out the window. He said, it knocked me to my knees, if you want to know the truth. But not long after the case against Washington began falling apart, a judge from Florida's 9th Judicial Circuit ruled a statewide prosecutor who filed the charges didn't have the jurisdiction to do so. Washington's attorney noted that he had received an official voter ID card in the mail after registering. The case was dismissed in February, but the damage was done. One by one, many of the initial 20 arrests announced by Office of Election Crimes and Security have stumbled in court. 6 cases have been dismissed. 5 other defendants accepted plea deals that result in no jail time. Only one case had gone to trial, resulting in a split verdict. The others are pending. In the first 9 months, the new unit made just 4 other arrests, according to a report the agency released earlier this year. So in other words, this law destroyed this Mr. Washington's, it took his job from him. His wife had to stop going to school. He lost his health insurance. His life was on track. But because of this law that, you know, because he was arrested, because he wasn't supposed to vote, but he thought he was supposed to vote.
They gave him the card, so why wouldn't he think he could vote? He had his registration card.
Right.
So the poor guy didn't screw up. They did.
Yes.
How can you penalize the poor guy? Penalize the people who mailed it to him if he's not supposed to vote.
Yep. It's terrible. I mean, you know, and you know, for him, it's just taken away. It, you know, he paid the price, a horrible price, just to vote.
I hope they sue Satan's ass.
You know.
I hope he sues them for what he lost.
Exactly.
I really do. If there is any attorneys out there listening, would you pick his case up and take it on a contingency?
Well, he does. Yes, he does have an attorney. He does have an attorney. And I don't know
expensive.
If it's going to help him. I don't know if it's going to help him. But basically, it ruined his life. I mean,
and he did nothing wrong. He just voted. It's not like he killed somebody. You have these idiots that are shooting their neighbors.
Yeah.
Or somebody because they ring your doorbell.
Mm-hmm.
Those
and
are the ones you prosecute, not a guy voting. Give me a break.
And of course, the governor's office did not respond to requests for comment on, you know, on the case. So
of course not.
They're not going to, you know. I mean, it's sad that this goes on in our country, you know. And this is what he did. He pled no contest in 1996 to attempted sexual battery of a child and was initially sentenced to probation, according to court records. But records show the father of the 4 violated the terms of his probation by failing to register with the state. He spent 10 years in prison for that. And he said, it took me a long time to rebuild my name, Washington said in a recent afternoon. It was slow, but I was working on it. I got a job. Then I got a better job. Then I met a wonderful woman and I got married. Things were looking up more and more every day. Registering to vote felt like the next logical step towards restoring his status a full citizen. Florida had just passed an amendment restoring the rights of many former felons. Washington said he was unaware of his conviction on a sex crime charge disqualified. He didn't know that that disqualified him. The Florida State Department of Tallahassee and the local election supervisor signed off on his application and issued him a voter ID card, as they did with the other felons who were later arrested, according to the attorneys. I mean, I just...
And he didn't screw up. The state of Florida screwed up.
Yeah.
I think they owe this man some monetary restitution.
Yeah. I do, too.
Florida is
too.
Like having a circle firing squad. They're shooting each other. I mean, they're just ridiculous. Abortion, banning books, to make the kids keep track, can't talk about their period. Then they got to figure out if they have a period. All this other, it doesn't make any sense. It's a zoo. And then picking on Disney, of all people, corporations.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I know, it's bad. I know, I agree.
And all the poor people that they had their houses destroyed in the tornado, the floods in Fort Lauderdale, and now the other tornado that just happened this past weekend. Take care of that.
Yep, I know. It's terrible. David, what
so
do you think about Mr.
Governor Washington? Governor Jay Inslee, and I'll soon come, Laurie. Governor Jay Inslee of Washington, a Democrat. He's a champion for climate change. He won't seek re-election. And Senator Ben Cardin from Maryland, he won't seek re-election. So both strong Democrats in their states, the blue-leaning states, not seeking re-election. So that's bad news for Democrats. Debbie Stabenow in Michigan, not seeking re-election. A couple of them out there. I just wanted to set out. You're going to ask something, Laurie.
I was just going to ask you, what do you think about Mr. Washington and what happened to him? You know, how he lost his job and everything.
Him. Hey, Florida will be Florida because other states, like New Mexico recently, I think last year it was, where Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham restored voting rights for people who were in prison for federal offenses and even minor offenses. And most of them are minorities. And you serve your time, you do your time, then you should be an active person in society where you could get a job, where you could vote again and ever. But back with places like Florida and most of the southern states, because of no felons usually lean Democrat, especially if you're a minority, they do everything in the power to don't give you back that right, especially. And so the mud of the waters, when they give mixed signals, like this gentleman here, Mr. Washington, got a voting card so he could vote, and certain interest groups in Florida working on restoring voting rights for former felons. So that's a mixed signal right there where he got confused, you know. And so hopefully Mr. Washington and other people who are arrested wrongly after getting these voter cards and everything sued the living hell out of the state of Florida. You know,
I agree.
Because Ron DeSantis is not a good person. And like I said earlier in the show, choosing between him and Donald Trump is like choosing between having gonorrhea or syphilis. Both of them are bad. Both of them does not belong in the White House. And Donald Trump deserved to be in prison. And DeSantis deserved to be somewhere they're just crazy, you know. All Republicans who run for president are about to run for president. They're not good for the country, you know.
Yeah.
They don't have any policies. They have nothing. They offer nothing to America.
You're right. There is a Democrat. His name is Colin Allred, and he's planning to announce a run against Ted Cruz. Week. According to two people familiar with his plans, he is a former NFL player turned civil rights attorney. Allred has been quietly prepping for the run against Cruz for months. During his two successful reelection bids since ousting an entrenched incumbent in 2018. Allred has proven a prolific fundraiser. He was well-liked with the Democratic caucus and has also picked up positions in leadership, now serving as a member of a House Minority Whip, Catherine Clark's Democrat of Massachusetts team, and previously part of then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi's expansive leadership team. So that's good news. Yeah, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope hope he can whip Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stand that man.
Yes.
Mark
Kelly's twin brother may run for the Democratic nomination. Mark Kelly's twin brother may run for the Democratic nomination as well in Texas. 515-605-9802 is the number to call, and we'll have a new caller on board. Hello, caller. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
I'm doing okay. This is Khalil again. Hey, how you doing?
Well,
good, good.
Hi. How are you? What's
pretty
up?
Good. Nothing much. I was at the a restaurant in my neighborhood, and considering what you're talking about and stuff like who owns what, there were some people in business suits. I'm going to tell you this real fast before I get to this. And one of the people in the business suits took off their blazer and they went to the bar with some alcohol, and I noticed that their blazer had like a big bulge in it.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, man, huh?
Go ahead.
They had a big bulge in it, and they had a glass of wine, and then the man was separated. The man was in a different part of the restaurant from the woman, and the woman separated from her jacket blazer, but it was either on the back of the chair lopsided, or it was on the side of the chair lopsided, but I just noticed that she looked like she was, like, here for business or something like that. They were here for business. Because
weird.
We did have, like, huh?
It's strange.
Told that there's probably either a cell phone or a badge because of the news stuff about the white supremacists here. We've had a lot of federal police here in Charlottesville because of the white supremacy thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Wow.
So, I was told that might have been who that was, a federal police officer or federal worker, because they were not even from Charlottesville.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Ooh. Oh, so Khalil, what do you think about your governor running for U.S. Senate against what's his face? The current senator. What's his name? Oh, I'm drawing a blank tonight.
I don't remember, David.
Yeah,
I wish I could.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, what's the son of a bitch's name? what's with me?
I'm not sure.
He's in. But anyway, moving on. Tonight's show is gone to the. We're supposed to be talking here about the rise and fall of ethics in journalism, and we'll go deep in different topics and everything. But anyway, who's the governor of West Virginia at the moment?
West Virginia. I'm in Charlottesville, Virginia. I'm in the state of Virginia.
Virginia.
I'm not in West Virginia.
Okay, gotcha. So that was my bad day.
Right.
Tonight is off the rails. I'm sorry. Tonight's just off the rails. We're talking about everything besides ethics and journalism. But anyway,
we're having brain freezes here.
Huh?
We're having brain freezes.
I know. There's so much going on. It's almost impossible.
Our brains are like computers, and they've kind of froze up right now.
Yes, we might as well laugh about it.
All right, I have a question for everybody.
We gotta laugh.
What do you think?
We gotta laugh. We gotta let some of this tension out.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Where do you think Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon would end up since they got fired from their respective news channels?
I was thinking about that today. It's funny you ask. I think that Don Lemon might end up maybe with Chris Cuomo or MSNBC. But, you know, he doesn't have to make any quick decisions, trust me. So that's my thought. And then, that's what I was thinking. Maybe with Chris Cuomo because he has his own blog and he might team up with him. Or I was thinking maybe MSNBC. Or he might do something on his own. I mean, he can. He's wealthy. He can do what he wants, really.
Well, how about Tucker Carlson? Nobody would hire him because he's such a
celebrity. What I'm afraid of, you know what I'm afraid of?
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid he's going to go to CNN. Because
Carlson?
CNN has...
CNN fired him already. MSNBC fired him. ABC fired him. Everybody fired him. Nobody wanted to hire him. I doubt he's going to any of those places.
Do you? Okay. So I don't.
Well, he doesn't have to go anywhere because they paid him $20 million. So.
Yeah.
He'll probably be the next president of the NRA.
I truly don't know. You know, I didn't know he made that much money.
And that's not too far-fetched of a silly remark either.
No.
Think about it.
Oh, I agree. I don't know. Where do you think he's going to go, David?
Hopefully under the rock he came from. But that's not going to happen,
too,
unfortunately.
Besides that.
Tucker Carlson? He'll probably be Trump's press secretary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but by then Trump will be in prison, so, you know, we'll have anything to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I hope so.
To worry about.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Yeah.
They're moving too slow for me. Every day I'm thinking, oh, is today the day? Is Jack Smith going to, you know, pull down the hammer today? No. Mm-mm.
Right, but a prosecutor in Georgia just said between July and September there will definitely be indictments coming, a lot of indictments. And we all know Rudy Giuliani is in trouble, and the whole sorts of characters, Matt Meadows, Trump's sons. Yeah, they're all going down. It's just a matter of timing. And I want to get all ducks in a row in terms of, like, having proper security because, you know, people in the red state who worship Trump will try the shenanigans and cause violence and uproar and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's slow, yes, and it's annoying, yes, but justice will prevail. Karma's a bitch, and no matter who you are, karma always get you. And Donald Trump.
And, you know, Trump's lawyers always put off, delay, dismiss, and they want to get all their ducks in a row, so they can't do that.
That's what he tried to do today, obviously. You know, in Egypt. Oh,
wow.
You know, that's what he tried to do today. It didn't work.
Yeah, we have 10 minutes left. So Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on Monday announced that the U.S. Senate will be holding hearings to expose the true impact of House Republicans' proposals to lift the debt ceiling. In a letter to lawmakers, Chuck Schumer called the Default on Americans Act, DOA, Debt on Arrival, which passed a Republican majority House last week. They hastily drafted it and a hard right ransom note to the American people. The bill, Debt on Arrival, in the Democratic-controlled U.S. Senate. So the Senate will show the public what this bill truly is beginning this week as the committees will begin to hold hearings to expose the true impact of the reckless legislation on everyday Americans by Republicans. The Budget Committee will hold hearings on this bill this week, Thursday, coming up. Titled Default on American Act, Blackmail, Brinksmanship, and Billionaire Backroom Deals. So the Republicans' proposal offer only two choices, either default on the debt or default on America, forcing steep cuts to law enforcement, veterans, families, teachers, and kids. And I'm sure the Democrats will allow that because the past three government shutdowns has been the fault of Republicans. And, you know, because of short-term memories, America forgets.
that it was their fault, why the government defaulted and everything.
And they're the ones
that raised
the ceiling. They put us in debt way worse than the Democrats.
Of course. They
yes, $7 trillion, $7.5 trillion when Trump was in. Give him a blank check, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
25% of our debt. Yeah, 25% of our debt, our current debt, is done because of Donald Trump and his failure as president in 4 years. Imagine that. All presidents combined deficits couldn't come nearer to the $7.5 trillion debt Trump caused. You know? And that's why I want to see that son of a bitch in prison. You know? And I hope he drops the soap, though.
I know.
Yeah, but
me
anyway.
Too. You know, and I'm happy that Speaker, I'm happy that Schumer, Chuck Schumer, is going to have this hearing, you know, to expose the Republicans with this debt limit hostage taking over thing, because that's all it is it's just like they're trying to, you know, hold the American people hostage. They're saying, if you don't do what we want, then we're just going to, we'll let, you know, the debt ceiling will just crash. Everything will crash.
It'll crash the whole world. That's not just the United States.
I know.
It's the whole world.
Yes. So, like I said, I'm happy that Chuck Schumer is, you know, going to do this. I'm glad that they're going to have a Senate hearing. And I hope people are paying attention to this. This is really important. This shows you who the Republican Party is. This shows you who they are beholden to. And it is not the American people. It is the billionaires. It's the corporations. That's who they're beholden to. That's who they want to please. Nobody else. Nobody else.
Exactly.
So that's what we have to understand, and that's what we have to express when we're talking to people, because nobody understands. I mean, this people just don't get it, and they don't understand what the debt ceiling is. You know, it's like,
yeah, people are willfully ignorant. There are so many sources out there you can go for information, but yet still they're stuck on Fox News and right wing media.
Treasury chief said in 1 month we could run out of money. 1 month.
Yeah, in June. Yeah, June.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, people like Pianke and Sarge, you know, they haven't called in weeks and everything. I guess they give up on everything. And hopefully the sort of light. I guess they haven't, knowing them. So I have to wrap up now. I want to thank Khalil and Susie and Elaine and Elaine's friend for calling in and everything. We're going to come back, not this Thursday, but we're coming next Sunday, new time slot, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and then we'll have a regular Monday show. So we're not really having a more Thursday show, but no, it's going to be Sundays and Mondays every week.
Okay, and I thank Linda for calling in and,
thank you, Linda.
the other part of the story.
Yes, absolutely. And I believe that that was very unfair and very racist. Terrible to hear.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll keep you abreast of
the progress that we make.
Yes.
Good.
Okay, no problem.
You go get them.
Yeah,
we're sure gonna try.
Yeah.
Yes, man. All right, so wrap up time with us now, Lori. Did you see the correspondence dinner of 2023? Joe Biden really let loose on Marjorie Taylor Greene. That was funny.
Yes, yes.
I saw bits and pieces and highlights. He was good. He was sharp.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody said. He
put his Brandon glasses on. His dark Brandon. That was really funny. Yeah, you know, he's a sport. I mean, he is a sport, and he's still, I think he's got the will, he's got the experience. You know, he loves this country. He loves the people of this country. And I believe that he's doing this because he feels it's his duty. No other reason. And he wants to finish the job. And that makes me happy to hear.
Yeah. And my final word to America listening out there, if I survive reading banned books and all I got was being smart and everything, don't let Republicans in your state, especially red states, try to ban books or try to impose, you know, like laws against First Amendment rights. You know what to do. Register, go out there, vote. Vote blue. You go out there, knock door to door. Go online. Canvas for Democrats in your state, because 2024 is the biggest election in the history of the United States.
It's
we can't afford Republicans to get a majority in either the Senate nor the House. They have an advantage already because they're heavily gerrymandered. But hopefully, good sense will prevail. People go out there, they're fed up enough to go out there and vote Democratic straight through. You know, forget the party lines that, oh, my grandfather was a Republican, so I'm a Republican. Unless you're a rich person and you're 1%, or you're part of some corporation, Republicans don't care about you. They don't give a shit about you, okay? So do the right thing. Go out there, register, vote, and just, you know, save America, because we're on the brink of losing democracy. And Republicans show their hands by wanting to have a dictator in. And Donald Trump is such a person that could control, because, let's face it, Donald Trump is a moron. He's stupid.
Yep.
Nobody takes him seriously.
Yeah,
he's a puppet of Russia.
He's a puppet, yep. He's absolutely a puppet. There's no doubt about it. And he feels that if he becomes president, he'll be untouchable. That's the only reason he's doing that. So, and he's in Ireland right now, by the way. And he's in Ireland right now.
Scotland. Scotland.
I'm sorry, Scotland.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's in Scotland now, golfing at one of his resorts. He's not liked there at all.
No.
They do not.
And that's where his mother's from, Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Scotland.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yep.
All right,
like
so.
It should be a flight risk, in my opinion, but hey, who am I?
Yeah, but at least Scotland have extradition treaty with the United States, being part of the United Kingdom. So even if he tries to escape, he won't escape.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I still think he should, you know, I feel that he shouldn't be able to leave the country. That's my opinion, but hey, it's only my opinion.
If the United States want people to believe in democracy and a rule of law, then Donald Trump has to be found guilty across the board for whatever he's done, you know? And he needs to go to jail, prison, hard labor. No matter if you're a president or a brick builder, if you break the law, you should go to prison.
Yes, agree.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets away with anything, it's just going to show the next person, hey, he can do it. I can do it too. And this is where we are right now in the country. So we have to pay attention. And yes, justice has to fail. And I believe in the judicial system. So I hope.
Yeah, and Fox News in all the years have been on air since 1996. They haven't won one award. In journalism.
I know.
They're just like, they're not journalists, they're entertainers. All right, so thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday, or this Sunday coming up. Remember, no more Thursday shows. It's going to be Sunday and Monday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern. This has been Kitchen Politics for May 1st, 2023.
May 1st.
David. Yeah, May 1st, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. Everyone do well. Have a good evening. And we'll see you on Sunday. Bye now. Bye.
Thank you.